Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Grant Napier Show.
This is the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
There he is again. My goodness.
Doug Christie, what a pass. Men against boys.
The Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
Crouches gets a step to the baseline.
Job with the right hand. Oh, boy.
Now, Grant Napier.
And if you're like, who?
Yeah, we're switching with the boys. They're going to be doing our show, and we're doing their show because the Kings play at 3:30 today, and Doug and I have a flight to catch after that. KHDK's coverage of Summer League being brought to you by Jiffy Lube with over 25 locations in the greater Sacramento area, offering AC service, oil changes, tune-ups, brakes, and much more. Jiffy Lube, they got you covered. So, Doug, we'll be done by 3, and then we'll go down and watch the Kings play, and then we'll fly back home, and we'll be in Tahoe tomorrow to start our coverage from the American Century Celebrity Championship. Good week, huh?
Tough life, huh? Vegas, Tahoe, living large. No, this has been fantastic, man. The ability to see so much young talent and at the same time come out, watch the Kings, and, yeah, this has been a lot of fun, man.
When we got off the air yesterday, rumors started flying around about the Kings' interest in Marcus Smart. And like 99% of the things you hear, it was completely false. There was no substance to that. It was Marcus Smart's agent using the Kings for leverage to try to get his client money and or more money. And those are some of the things that go on now in this day and age. It's unfortunate, but that's the world we live in.
No, it goes on all the time, actually, Grant. I mean, that's how you're able to garner more money because, you know, once someone shows interest in you, then other people are interested in you, and they think that you have value in a lot of different things. In my opinion, Marcus Smart does have value. Yeah, it's quite a bit of value, actually. But I think I said it yesterday, looking at Boston and the way that they're set up, what they're trying to do now is figure out how they can, you know, start to sign all these young players. And Marcus Smart is the first domino, and you don't want to overextend yourself with Marcus Smart initially.
All right, if you want to call today's show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. All right, a very disturbing story with allegations coming out in the National Football League against LeSean McCoy with photographs and domestic violence accusations. Now, LeSean McCoy plays for the Buffalo Bills. He is a running back, and these allegations are obviously very serious, okay? I will also point out that LeSean McCoy has come out and vehemently denied the allegations. And so after we just went through this with Reuben Foster, let's just wait and see how this plays out, all right? Again, we just went through this a couple of months ago with Reuben Foster, and as it turned out, the allegations against Reuben Foster from the victim was flat-out false. Now, this lady, this female, has obvious injuries, okay, that are disturbing. But LeSean McCoy has already come out and said that these allegations are completely false and that he has not had anything to do with the actual accuser and the victim, the alleged victim here. I don't know if I can call her alleged victim. Something happened to her. But my point is, he said he hasn't had contact with either of those individuals for several months.
Well, yeah, let's hope not from LeSean McCoy's standpoint. Obviously, I know LeSean a little bit, so I wish nothing but the best for him. My buddy who was in the studio, Greg, he's an Eagles fan, so he was playing for the Eagles, and then I ran into him a few times, and a great dude. So hopefully this is false, and he can move forward.
Well, if it's not false, he's not a great dude.
Yeah, well, this is true.
Right.
Absolutely. But and I say great dude, that's
you know
somebody.
Of right.
Exactly. So from that standpoint, it's unfortunate, but in this you got to let it play out as we've seen, as you mentioned, with Reuben Foster, Grant.
Exactly. And again, because we just went through this, and again, I'm going to read it word for word, okay? This is LeSean McCoy. For the record, the totally baseless and offensive claims made against me today on social media are completely false. Furthermore, I have not had any direct contact with any of the people involved in months. Now, that's something that can easily be proven, backed up, because, you know, There's cameras, there's photographs, there are witnesses. There's all kinds. Well, you know, exactly.
Yeah.
So this to again, I'm not in the business of you know, law. All
yeah.
right. I'm not in law enforcement. I'm not in the judicial system. I don't know how these things work. But when he says, furthermore, I have not had any direct contact with any of the people involved in months, that is something that I think can be proved probably before the sun sets.
Yes, I would think so, because you just mentioned many ways to do it. And if that's true, then obviously this goes away. If it's not, boy, oh, boy, you're in a boatload of trouble legally. But also, with more of this stuff happening pretty soon, the NFL is probably going to make a stance and make an example out of someone, and it could be LeSean if this is true.
All right, the NFL Players Association announcing today that they have filed a grievance against the league's new national anthem policy. And if you've been following this story, the union is claiming that the new policy imposed by the NFL, which governors or which and the NFL's governing body, I should say, it goes against the collective bargaining agreement and infringes on players' rights. So, you know, again, I'm telling you, I said this before Colin Kaepernick ever took a knee. I've been saying this for years, and I'm going to continue to say this. And I know you disagree with me, but mm-hmm. I'm going to put my
Absolutely.
Opinion out there again. This is going to be. This has already started the downfall of the National Football League. And if this issue continues to escalate, there will be more and more fans that say, you know what, I'm done with the NFL. Because there are and I'm not done with the NFL, so I want to put that out there first and foremost.
Right.
I am not done with the NFL because I love the NFL, and I'm able to separate guys kneeling, and then when the game starts, it bothers me. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm bothered by it, but I'm not bothered enough by it to turn off the TV or not spend my money to go to the games. I am bothered by it, okay? And I've said, when you start mixing social issues and politics with sports, you're going to lose a percentage of your audience because a lot of people use sports as a mechanism to get away from their everyday issues. And so this is going to be, once again, and that's why I applaud Adam Silver so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because Adam Silver has worked so closely with the Players Association and their rights and everything else. But he said, hey, we're standing for the national anthem. This is not going to be an issue in our league.
Yes.
But because of the leeway he's given and the support he has given to the players in their beliefs and their social issues, and their the players are like, okay, you know what? We'll give you that as long as you back us up on these other things.
Absolutely. You got my back. I got your back. The NFL, it's a slippery slope with them, Grant, because they say that politics and sports don't mix, but then you see the Cardinals owner supporting the judge for Trump. So it mixes when it comes to something that is more along the lines of something that you need. Just unfortunate.
Yep.
But I would say, Adam Silver, and this is something that the NFL needs to look into, support your players in a greater in a greater way, meaning where they come from, their communities, different things, and you guys can stand arm in arm like you're seeing the NBA do.
And, you know, one other point on the anthem issue and the National Football League in this whole deal, okay? You and I both know what this boils down to, all right? This boils down to one thing and one thing only, and it's called money. And if the NFL were not losing money, and if they weren't losing sponsorships, and fans weren't, you know, they wouldn't care what their players did before the game. I mean, let's just call it the way it is, all right? If it wasn't hurting them financially, we wouldn't be going through this.
Right.
The reason why this is becoming a big issue is because it's impacting the National Football League in terms of dollars.
Yes, bottom line, Grant, when the bottom line starts to be affected more and more, you're going to see things start to arise. But you know what? It comes down to the ability of the commissioner of the NFL being able to, because he is a representative of the owners, and being able to talk to them and have the same ability that you see Adam Silver talk to the owners, and therefore now you have, when Adam Silver represents the players, it looks like he's representing the players. He's caring about the players. You rarely see that in the NFL, and that's why they have these problems.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140, again, 339-1140. And 800-920-1140. Summer League, I watched the final quarter between the Kings Summer League team and the Chinese national team. None of the regulars played. Frank didn't play. Justin Jackson, obviously Skiles. So I expect all of those guys to play today at 3:30 against Memphis. Obviously Marvin Bagley is out for the Summer League. But, you know, in being around, as we had on Chris Haynes from ESPN yesterday.
Yes.
And he said the great thing about being here in Summer League is every single person involved with the league is here. So I'm sure you have too. I have run into a ton of people that I have known over the years in the league, and I got to tell you, everyone's talking about Harry Giles, not just us in Sacramento.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the one thing that happens here, Grant, is everyone gets to see. And if you go out and you put it down the way that Harry's been putting it down, because, I don't know if you know him, but Walker D, he is a scout for the New York Knicks, been a scout for many, many years. And I was talking to him about Harry Giles, and the first thing that he said is, look, D, he would have been the number one pick if it hadn't have been for what happened to him. So make no mistake is what he said, unquestionable talent, but he had the injuries. Will he be able to come back? Now we're seeing him come back, and I think slowly you're starting to see that number one type of draft pick talent start to rise, because he's improved in every game.
I thought that the most intriguing summer league game was played yesterday, and I thought it was a lot of fun to see Mo Bamba go against DeAndre Ayton. And I got to tell you, when I watch Mo Bamba play and I try to fast forward 3 years, I think he's going to be a really special player in this league.
You know, yeah, I will give you credit because you had came in when we were going through the process before the draft happened. You said, Mo Bamba is an interesting one. I like what I see. And you don't know what his body's going to do. I kind of compare him similar to Giannis Antetokounmpo because when Giannis was that young, now I don't mean that he might develop the same skill set, but that body type and what have you. And we've seen Giannis start to develop. So when you say fast forward with Mo Bamba's defensive acumen, with the ability to shoot the basketball, and I'm sure he'll work on dribbling and different things, how far will he take it? He does have the potential to be something solid, Grant.
Yeah, and again, the reason why I say fast forward 3 years, I'm not one of these people that are making instant judgments based on four summer league games like most people do, and I never will. But we do talk about it because that's why we're here. I mean, listen, Doug and I have been very positive about Harry Giles, but it doesn't mean he's going to be a great player in the NBA or even a very good player. I mean, playing well in summer league sometimes does not translate into playing well on the big stage when the season starts in October. So I'm putting that out there as well. But I'm segueing to Trae Young because I thought it was interesting when we had Scott Pollard on a couple of weeks ago. And he's watched Trae Young play a lot. He said, I wouldn't take Trae Young under any circumstances. I wouldn't take him with a 10-foot pole, blah, 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 blah. And, again, you know, it's interesting. I have only watched Trae Young play in person here for 10 minutes, so I don't want to make it seem like I've watched him play a lot.
Right.
But I was out last night with a couple of NBA personnel, and you know what? I'm hearing more bad things about Trae Young than any other draft pick in this venue, and I'm like, interesting. You know,
overreach is the word that I keep hearing because he has elite vision, Grant. But the problem is he isn't depending on the vision. He's depending on the shooting ability. Therefore, he's chasing shots and forcing them. Does he have talent? Yeah. But that whole Steph Curry comparison and different things, that was at an AAU level, at a college level, and this is a whole different thing because he's not facing double teams like he did in Oklahoma when he was saying, hey, you know, the scouting report has changed. They're all over me. Now it is mano y mano, but you're getting the same results, and that's disturbing.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And, I think you're going to continue to see as we talk about fulfilling and building rosters, you're going to start hearing and seeing, you know, a lot of rumors between – because here's the deal. After Summer League, the NBA within a week shuts down until September for the most part. In other words, there's not a lot of activity. This is – the month of August is when GMs and coaches and, you know, take their vacations.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't mean they can't conduct business when they're on vacation, but it's the slow time of the year. So I would think if the Kings are going to add a player via trade and or free agency, I believe that it's more likely than not that it will happen in the next 2 weeks.
You would think so. And this is the time, Grant, when we talk about all the executives, everybody who is part of NBA organization day to day, they are here right now. This is where all the deals get done. When you talk about being out with the executives and NBA people, because you run into them, hey, Grant, come on over, sit down, talk, let's talk. And before you know it, there's three or four people. I ran into Stephen A. Smith. I ran into a bunch of people in our hotel. And all it is talking basketball, hearing about different talent, watching talent. And listen, there aren't enough spots on every team, and some teams are heavy at one position and they let go of a guy that they might not want to let go of, and Kings have some needs, and I think that they will be fishing.
All right, Grant Napier and Doug Christie, we're with you until 3 o'clock. Coming up on the show today, We are going to talk with Mike Dunleavy Sr., former NBA player, former NBA coach, will join us at 1:30. And then we will have our Kings throwback of the week at 2 o'clock. And Michael Yogi Stewart, one of the great guys that I met in all my years of doing this, he'll join us at 2.
There you go.
And then I guess Mike Bibby's going to join us as well.
Okay. The Bibster.
Yeah, see, we got to get him out of the weight room first to be able to talk for 10 minutes.
He doesn't have to tailor his golf shirts. He stretches them. That's what Mike does.
Well, what is the deal with Mike and his body, man? Have you talked to him about it?
He likes to get his swole on, man.
All right, man.
You know, he's pumping iron. He's eating iron. He used to be hooping all the time. Now he's eating iron. Well, he's shooting too. Yogi, I played with Yogi in Toronto. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yes, I did. And Mike Dunleavy.
What a great guy.
Yes, he is awesome. Now the head coach at Tulane University in New Orleans, one of your favorite cities.
You know what? I didn't even realize that. Is Mike coaching in Tulane?
Yes.
I honestly did not know that.
And we have Cam Reynolds on our team that was one of his players.
Interesting.
Yes. So there'll be some good conversation.
All right. So that's all coming up on the show today. Again, Doug and I will be on the driving range at Lake Tahoe tomorrow. We are always so happy to be there and do all of that. It's one of our favorite weeks of the year. So that is going to be coming up tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. Again, if you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. If you want to talk the All-Star break next week, again, I just can't believe Jed Lowry did not make the All-Star team. I think it's a travesty. I think when you look at the A's, guess what? They win again last night against Houston.
Come on.
I'm telling you, they're the best story in the American League this year.
Absolutely, man. And you talk about All-Star snubs and different things like that, Grant. Even in the NBA, there aren't enough roster spots to take care of everyone. It's unfortunate. Some guys who are really deserving make it, but you have to have a guy from every team. Am I correct on
yes,
that
you
one?
Do have to have someone for every team.
Yeah, so and then there are probably some guys who aren't as deserving who make it as well.
You shouldn't have a representative from every team. That's the problem. Hey, all guests come to you via the Fire Wings Hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. I mean, you don't have a representative from every team in the NBA.
No.
You know, now I get the fact that you have a limited roster, but I mean, you shouldn't have a player. To me, a player should never make the All-Star team if it's not deserving.
Yes.
Just for and let me. You shouldn't have a token representative because of a stupid rule that says you have to have a player from every team.
Yes, this is absolutely correct. And normally, host cities and different things like that. It's listen. There are a lot of really solid players that didn't make the All-Star team, and it's really unfortunate. But that's just the way that it goes.
Yeah. All right. 339. 1140, 800-920-1140. We are at the Thomas and Mack Center. Summer League action again continuing. What is this, day five already? Unbelievable. Day five with the Summer League beginning here on Friday. And, of course, the Kings had three games last week. And if the Kings lose here today, they could very well be looking at five games and then get out of Dodge, which is fine for them because they've already played three games extra. So I'm not saying they're trying to go out and lose, but I don't think anybody would be losing sleep over it.
No, you want to get as many as you can. Obviously, you get so many games and then the playoffs start, and if you lose, you're out. But, you know, this is more for Frank Mason, for Harry Giles, now Marvin Bagley, but he's not here, and then also Justin Jackson. Justin has shown well. Frank has some work to do. Harry has been fantastic. I would just love to see more and more of Harry. But when you talk about Summer League, Grant, as I'm they have columns throughout Thomas and Mack, and on some of the columns, Rap, they got players, and they show the Summer League that those players were in.
That's awesome.
And you see Clay Thompson, he was here once.
Yep.
A guy that I found interesting that was here twice was LaMarcus Aldridge. To me, that says a lot because he turned into a perennial all-star, but he had to come to Summer League twice to really make that push, which speaks to your fact of, listen, you got to give them 2 or 3 years before you start to judge these players. On top of that, a lot of these kids are 19 years old. Grant, I grew all the way through college, so you don't really know what you got when you're seeing them here. On top of the fact, when they get money, how do they act at such a young age? So many different variables before you can really determine if they're going to be a player.
Steph Curry going into after year four, into year four, the Warriors were debating whether to give him a deal or not, and they signed him to a 4-year, $40 million extension. And they were going back and forth on that. There was some talk that the Warriors would not give him that deal because of his ankle injuries and et cetera. And, you know, again, we talk about Victor Oladipo this past year.
Yes.
He just played his fifth year. He's an all-star now.
Yeah.
All right, some guys just need a right fit. Some guys take longer. And, you know, there are one of the worst things you see every year in the NBA, and it's not, and it's by all teams. Sacramento's guilty of this, too, when they traded Isaiah Thomas for nothing.
Right.
Sometimes teams give up on players too soon.
Yes.
And when you give up on a player too soon, that's real painful because you can't get that player back. In other words, you're like, wow, we had that guy and we let him go for nothing.
Yeah, when you talk about Steph, Grant, until that offensive explosion and just kind of letting everything go, and then also pair that with the fact that you got to run into some luck. He's having an ankle injury, sprained his ankle. He did it a couple times this year. Just bum luck, stepping on someone's foot. All of a sudden, he got healthy, and when he got healthy, and give him credit, he continued to work on his game, and his game just started elevating to other levels. But to your point, if you believe in him, you roll with him, and you push him out there. If you don't, then you get up off of it, and they might turn into a player somewhere else.
Yeah, I was speaking last night with I don't want to mention names because I don't know if it's in confidence or what. So I ran into an assistant coach last night for the Blazers, who I've known for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was raving to me about Marvin Bagley. He was like, man, he goes, we and our staff were talking about the young nucleus that you guys have down in Sacramento. And he said, we all were talking about Marvin Bagley the other night. And, you know, here's a guy that doesn't work for Sacramento, who's mm-hmm. with the Portland Trailblazers organization that is like going, wow, we love, you know, and he said it in a, trying to think the adjective he used. He was kind of like, man, we don't like to see you guys get good,
right?
You know, because
it's right, more, yeah, and
you
that's
know?
Okay.
But he was like, man, you guys are really going to be good soon.
Listen, Grant, I was on a radio show this morning in San Francisco. I was talking about the Warriors, cuz, and different things, and they paused and said, you know what? Before we go into that, we just want to tell you guys, we love the young nucleus that you guys have.
Yeah.
We're watching Summer League. We're watching Harry Giles. They were like, whoa. You know, no one expected to see what they're seeing. And they're saying that is a young nucleus. And, you know, as much as we, to your point, we don't want to see you guys get good, we appreciate watching you guys develop what you're doing.
All right. 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Speaking of the Warriors, speaking of the Rockets, you know, teams that were really good last year, and obviously
whoa,
the Warriors won a championship, I think Carmelo Anthony is going to be a disaster for Houston. I'm just going to go on record and say that. That does not make that team better. Losing Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamute, to me, they now can't compete with Golden State. They don't have enough defense to compete with Golden State. Now, I know their roster is not set, and they could add via trade.
Yeah.
But as their roster exists right now, they're not good enough to beat Golden State. Not only are they not good enough to beat Golden State, I'm not so sure I would put them even as a top two team in the West right now.
I would not, Grant. I would think that they're going to struggle mightily. You run that Houston team right now, presently constructed, let's minus Clint Capella, because from my understanding, they're like $40 million apart, and he's probably not going to be happy if he does have to sign back.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put them past the Utah Jazz
No. Coming
back in a second year after having some success. But when you talk about Carmelo Anthony, this is my question to you. Why would you think – this lets you know that they're reaching, Grant, because they got rid of Ariza and they got rid of Luke Mabute. Mike D'Antoni and him – didn't get along in New York.
I know.
He ran
out. I know.
He
was, it doesn't make any sense.
So what makes you think
I
now?
Know.
On top of that, their general manager.
Where?
In Houston.
Morey.
He's total analytics guy.
Yes.
If you look at the analytics of Carmelo Anthony, he's in the bottom of forwards
right.
in every single statistical category. And that lets you know that they're
yep.
reaching, because it's not the type of fit that you would think for a team that went to the Western Conference Finals.
Also, coming up on the show today at 1:15, we'll have Rod Strickland. So we've got that as well. We'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, Grant Napier and Doug Christie. So when you look at the West and the landscape in basketball, again, we don't know what other moves are going to be made, but we think Houston has taken a step back.
Yep.
In my opinion, there's only two things that can screw up the Golden State Warriors. One are injuries, and the other is DeMarcus Cousins. And, of course, you know, I might put DeMarcus Cousins first and injury second, but I also think that if he's a problem, they'll just cut him and eat the money.
Yes.
But you know, barring injury, I mean, who would be the next right now, knowing what we know with the roster of the Rockets, not taking such a big step back defensively, I'm wondering what type of player they could acquire to fill the void defensively of losing Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamute.
Grant, this is this game now, perimeter defense is just it's at a premium. So you're not just going to get guys out there like the Derek Jones Jr., for instance. That is an incredible find by Miami after watching him play. There aren't a lot of guys that are just floating around that can compete at the type of level that Houston is looking to compete. They're not just looking to compete in the NBA. That's not it. There are teams that are looking to do that, and they're willing to just, you know, have some guys. We saw the Memphis Grizzlies at the end of the year kind of with that. What Houston's trying to do is they're trying to compete for a championship. They're in the Western Conference Finals. I just don't see a lot of guys out there, Grant, that fit that bill. Yep.
All right, let's get to some phone calls, and it's Ivan. You're on with Grant and Doug. Go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Grant and Doug?
How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, congratulations on the draft pick. Marvin Bagley is a good look for the team.
Oh, this is Mr. Rabb.
Oh, yes, there you go.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's good to hear from you again. Appreciate that. We're really excited in Sacramento. We really are. I know in speaking with the Kings coaches, Ivan, and the other people around the league, the Kings feel like they have a very special player in the making.
Yes, sir, you do. And also, want to congratulate on the Harry Giles. You know, I've heard about Harry Giles the last few years from Ivan. He and Ivan are good friends, and Ivan always said he was a top-notch player, so it's good to see that now he's out on the floor and showing what he could do.
Yeah, you know, when you look at Harry, you say you've been hearing for a few years. That's kind of it. You know, he was kind of that story of lore for a while, and now to see him get out there. Now, Grant and I were talking, he's got to do it in the regular season, but you see all of the pieces. So, yeah, I think Kings fans should be really, really excited with those two.
How's your son doing?
He's doing good. He's all geared up for the summer league, and you know, I think those two are going to get a chance to play each other again today.
That's right.
You know, they were friends during the AAU circuit back when they were, you know, 10th grade, 11th grade. So, you know, they've been knowing each other for quite a while. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see them two get a chance to play against each other today.
Now, are you in Vegas or are you back home?
No, I'm here in Sacramento.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you'll be able to watch the game. Yeah, that should be fun to watch. I didn't even think about that. I'm really happy that you called and reminded us of that with the Kings playing Memphis today. And, of course, we're talking with Ivan Rabb Sr. and his son is on Memphis. And it was nice meeting you last year, by the way. But what do you see in the development of your son? When you try to, you know, look from last year to this year, where does he want to get his game to? Tell me what he's working on.
Definitely, you know, the mid-range jumper and obviously the three-point shot is, you know, very important for a guy his size, 6'9", 6'10". So that and a lot of his, you know, he's got to pick up a little weight, get a little stronger. But other than that, he's looking good. His footwork's still there. Everything else is looking good. just more playing time and, you know, from that point on, he's going to be ready to go.
What has Mr. Rabb? What has been the biggest transition for him as you talk to him? Like something that when he was in college and he decided to leave Cal and come to the NBA, was there something that he said, "Whoa, I didn't expect this when I got into the league"?
I think it was the speed, the speed of the game, and the strength of some of the players that have already been in the league a few years. There are guys that are about his size, but maybe a year or two, few years older, that are stronger.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's like the speed and the how strong these guys are. They could be slim like him, but you know, because of their age, a few years, and they've been around, they are a little bit stronger. So I think those are the two things that you know, pretty much like caught his eye pretty fast. But everything else, the shooting and the, you know, the game after game nights, the traveling, all that stuff, I don't think was too much for him. I mean, he had been doing that, you know, traveling, playing ball since he was 8 or 9 years old. So
I've always felt, and I'm glad you brought that up, because Doug and I talk about this all the time as we're talking with Ivan Rabb Sr., his son, of course, plays for Memphis. I've always thought that with the one-and-dones and the young players coming into the league, to me, the biggest obstacle they face is the strength factor. And, Doug, you know this. Doug was blessed to guard LeBron James in a first-ever NBA game, and Doug always tells the story that, you know, for an 18-, 19-year-old kid, I mean, he had an NBA body and NBA strength, but that's an aberration.
It is.
You know, there are very, very few 19-year-olds that come into the league that are physically capable of playing in this league the way they will 3 or 4 years from now, Doug.
Yes. You know, Mr. Rob, what you said is really interesting, because what you're saying is kids that he played against on the AAU circuit who maybe fast-forwarded, might have he saw, but they're in the league for just a couple years. We're talking 24 months. He finds that they're way stronger. They might not be bigger, but all of a sudden you get with elite strength and conditioning coaches, and they find leverage. They find how to use their leverage and things like that, and people don't quite understand that.
Exactly. That's what he's been working a whole lot on since he's been with the Grizzlies organization, the strength training. And the couple times that I was out there in Memphis, you know, I saw you guys out there at one time, and I got a chance to take a look at the, you know, training facility and meet some of his you know, strength and conditioning coaches, and you know, they got him dialed in. His nutrition, you know, calorie intake, stuff like that. You know, they got him dialed in. He's looking good now. So, you know, another year or so, you know, he's really going to be filled out and you know, ready to bang in the paint. Cause at one game last year, I don't know if you saw it, but they played against the OKC Thunder. And, you know, Steven Adams, you know, outweighs him by, you know, probably 30, 40 pounds. I mean, he had his hands full against Steven Adams. So I told him, hey, man, you know, just you know, learn what you can from that experience and come back next year and be ready for him.
Do you go to Memphis often? That's one of Grant's favorite cities.
Oh, yeah. I try, you know, a couple times a year. I made it out there last year. So, you know, each time I go, I make sure that they have like 4 or 5 home games while I'm there. So, this year, I'll get out there at the beginning of the season, and
good for you.
Obviously, during the middle of the season, also. So, yeah, it's a good. I like Memphis.
Well, I got to tell you, thanks for coming down and saying hello to us when we saw you in Memphis last year, and we're really looking forward to seeing that. You know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I wouldn't even have thought about the matchup today, because these games have been coming so quick, and I'm watching. Out here watching 3 and 4 games a day. I didn't really think about the matchups today, but that's one we're going to keep our eye on. So thank you. It's great hearing from you, and I'm sure we'll be talking again in the near future.
Okay. Yeah, you guys have a good day, and thanks for having me on. Talk to you soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks for taking the time to call. How great is that?
It is, Grant. You know what we talked about, and this was something that we talked about with Marvin Bagley when he matched up and he was trying to post up Derrick Jones Jr. And Derrick Jones Jr., he's light. He's probably 210, 15 pounds, something like that. He's about 6'8", though. And you're watching Marvin Bagley, who's a little heavier, maybe 10, 15 pounds. But Derrick Jones Jr., just by his, I think you said, 56 games in the NBA.
56 games in the NBA. Huge difference.
You learn leverage. Yes. There's so many different things that you learn, Grant. Yep. You're not just going to overpower people.
No.
You got to learn these little tricks. And I say tricks, but they're techniques and different things that you learn. And, you know, it happens, but it happens in time.
I didn't even – and, again, I haven't even thought about the matchup today until
– that's going to be a good one now.
But Jaren Jackson Jr.?
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's right. Yes. Yeah, he has been playing well. Man, I seen him the other day. I was walking in. Goodness gracious, he is bigger than you think, man. You get next to him, you're just like, okay, you're legitimately 6'11". You must be like 6'11 and some change. But, yeah, watching him, that would have been a great matchup with him and Marvin Bagley. But Ivan Rabb Jr., and Harry Giles, that's going to be big time stuff. And now you add Jaren Jackson Jr. in there. I mean, what will Harry do with him? He's more of a perimeter player. It's going to be fun to watch.
KHDK's coverage of Summer League brought to you by Jiffy Lube, with over 25 locations in the greater Sacramento area, offering AC service, oil changes, tune-ups, brakes, and more. Jiffy Lube, they've got you covered. Grant Napier, Doug Christie. If you want to call the show, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. You know, Jaren Jackson Jr. is a guy, I don't want to say he slid under the radar, because he didn't. He was the 4th overall pick in the draft. But I know, getting ready for the draft in Sacramento, we probably heard his name less than any of the other top draftees. And I'm including, you know, obviously Ayton Doncic, Bamba, obviously, who the Kings took, Marvin Bagley. We just Jaren Jackson's name never came up that much, and yet he may end up, and again, I say may, he could be as good as anyone in this draft.
Yeah, you know, we had Vin Baker on yesterday, and he has that type of body, that long, but it's still got a little thickness to it, but you can see the athleticism. He needs to work on the shot a little bit, but it is all there. When you talk, and I think of the Kings, when you talk about getting a guy like him, he was a super young, but you have no idea what he's going to be. Is he still growing? So from that standpoint, you're right, Grant. The sky's the limit for the kid. He has talent, definitely.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140.
Let me say this about him also. Could it scare some teams away that he didn't even start that much? I mean, you know, he's only playing, you know, 15, 20 minutes
talking about
Jaren Jackson Jr. I mean, he's in and out of the game. He was a little foul prone earlier, but that's because he's so young and learning. So I don't know. That might have scared some teams off as well.
Yeah, you know, again, different teams, different personnel evaluators looking at different, you know, I can't speak for Memphis. I don't know. But I was talking with Eric Hasseltine last night, the voice of Memphis, and he said already that he's really got extremely positive feedback on him just with his work ethic and the way he goes about everything.
Yeah, and he should, because listen, what we are hearing is a lot of these kids work hard, and if that is the case, they are going to be successful, because you get around the right coaches, you get around the right system, you work hard, you will improve.
We'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, we are continuing on. We are on until 3 today. We're flip-flopping because the game is at 3:30, and then Doug and I have a flight to catch after that. So we are going to head back and get ready for Lake Tahoe tomorrow. Can't wait. Just cannot wait.
That should be easy, Grant. Well, I mean, come on. We're in Tahoe, for God's sakes. I know I didn't go for a long time. I don't want to hear it. But now that I've went, I'm all in, buddy.
Yeah, you need to be all in, because it is just an incredible venue.
It is spectacular. On top of the fact that we're going to have so many different interviews, people are going to be excited because you get to hear from so many different people. Herm Edwards was up there. That was one of the most spectacular interviews that we've had in some time. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
You know, you talk about, you know, again, other teams – in the NBA and the Houston Rockets, I just, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski saying that Oklahoma City has granted permission, you know, that Anthony's got permission to meet with the Rockets and the Heat, which means he's leaving Oklahoma City. All right? So he's got permission to meet with those two teams.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, I think you're right, Grant. When you start granting permission, that kind of lets you know that things aren't working out. Well, for him, I don't know, Grant. I don't see that being a fit with Carmelo Anthony in Houston.
I don't
just
either.
Don't. Being an analytics team.
I don't see him being a fit in Miami either.
I would say, and I always say this, Grant, guys who kind of are on that rocky ground, when you look at Carmelo and you think of him in a place like Miami, they do all the body fat tests, the whatever. You would see the best version of whatever Carmelo Anthony is and what he has left in the tank if he went to the Heat.
All right, Woj of ESPN's reporting, the Thunder are working on trade scenarios where Anthony, who's 34, would be moved as an expiring contract and be waived, thus becoming a free agent once his $28 million clears waivers. Oklahoma City needs the Anthony's permission to waive the no-trade clause, which he has done to facilitate his exit, according to sources of Woj.
Okay. Well, wow. I mean, he wouldn't – it was a long time before he okayed the no-trade clause in New York. That was the big bugaboo that kind of kept him in New York for a long while. So the fact that he's willing to do it, I think that says not only do they want him out of OKC, but he wants out of OKC as well.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I guess the question is, if you were an NBA team, would you want Carmelo Anthony on your team? I've been saying this for probably 7 or 8 years. No, I would not. I like Carmelo Anthony. I like watching Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
He's supremely talented. I just don't think you win with Carmelo Anthony. That's why I say I wouldn't want him.
I would want him on my team if he was willing to come off the bench. and that's been the big thing. Yep. He hasn't been willing to take that step back. He still views himself as the Carmelo Anthony that was the all-star, that was a 25-plus scoring and more efficient than he's been as of late, and he is not that guy. So if he was willing to take a lesser role, come off the bench, be my sixth or seventh guy, I'd be willing to take a look. And are you willing to maybe play that stretch four position? Because really, that's the only position that you're going to be able to guard on the floor.
Guy's 34 years old, and what do you think? He's got two good years left? And by that, by good years, I mean productive.
That's where I was going with it. I would say that it depends on what his role is going to be. If he wants to be a starter, no. We've seen that didn't work. And he was with probably some of the best talent that he's had since he was in Denver with all those guys. So, listen, I'm not sure that whole thing is going to work.
All right. Well, we've got Sacramento Kings assistant coach Bob Thornton on. He coaches the big men. And guess what? It's Bob's birthday today. Happy birthday, Coach.
Oh, thank you.
Yes,
you guys are awesome.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Just turned 40?
Yeah, 23, actually.
Yeah, 23. My bad. I don't even know why I said 40.
You know, we've talked so much about the matchup today. We're looking forward to seeing, Harry play against Mr. Rab Sr., Ivan Rab Sr. called in the show because his son plays for Memphis, and then, you know, Jaren Jackson. But we've talked about Harry, and you have a completely different perspective because you pretty much worked him out almost on a daily basis last year. What do you like about him?
I love his energy. He's a very live body who has a high motor, and this is a kid that just absolutely loves to play. I think everybody that's seen him on TV and through these games so far, he's always smiling.
Yeah.
And he loves to attack. He's strong. He has a lot of confidence right now, so we're really happy with where he's at.
When you look at him from where he came in to where he is now, what's something that surprises you about his development? Because you got to see him so much. Is it because personally, a lot of people I'm hearing are like, "Wow, I didn't know he could shoot the mid-range jump shot like that." For me, it was the passing. I'm just like, "Wow, I didn't know he could pass that way." When you look at him and his development, what do you see? Like, that is something I didn't anticipate.
The biggest thing is that he's gaining consistency and being more confident in his shooting. When he started working out with us, he had incredible vision, and his passes, you know, you would expect from a 5 or 6 year vet where I know that pass is there. I don't think he's going to throw it, but there it goes. And
right.
It's like, you know, guys don't expect it because they're not ready for it. So, I mean, he's at a high level basketball IQ-wise right now. But as he continues to build experience and confidence, he's just going to get better.
When you talk about the passing, the other day in the game, he passed the pass to Justin Jackson. Justin wasn't even looking. It was the best pass.
Yeah.
How do you as a coach, if the players aren't looking, it's a turnover, but it really, in my opinion, it wasn't Harry's fault. How do you go about do you temper him and bring him back, or do you say keep looking for those passes and tell the other guys to make sure to keep your head on a swivel?
Well, the biggest thing is that you can go to J-Jack and just say, hey, you know Harry's going to throw that now.
Okay.
Okay, so now it's not just a random cut. This is a live cut.
Yes.
You know, which we teach from the jump anyway. So sometimes when they forget or just through the course of a game, they forget to look for it. Now here comes that ball, so it's like, hey, these are live cuts.
Yeah.
All guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. Kings assistant coach Bob Thornton with us. He is the Kings big man coach. You were working out Marvin Bagley when he came out for his visit at the practice facility. What did you learn that day about Marvin, and what have you learned since?
The cool thing about it was, you know, Dave pushed him pretty hard, and we did that intentionally because we wanted to see how he would, number one, react, if he would continue to push through and overcome or, you know, just kind of shut down. So I was very surprised at his strength, number one. His ability, his footwork, too, was incredible. So he's at a high level. And so the other thing was that Phil and I were playing one-on-one against him, and we were kind of bumping him, shoving him a little bit more than you'd see in a regular game, but he kept coming back for more. And that's unusual in kids today. You know, they kind of shy away, but this kid just kept attacking, you know, hey, what did you do there? You know, what can I do against that? So we talk about it, and then the next possession I do it again, and then here he is doing what we just explained. So, you know.
What about since then?
Since then, it's just more confidence. You know, he hasn't seen a lot of live action, you know, except in practice. Mm-hmm. So different coverages and different ways of guarding him are going to be odd and different. So, you know, Phoenix put Jones on him, who is a three. He wasn't ready for that. He's never seen that before. So it kind of made
Miami,
him think too much.
Oh, Jones.
He was thinking too much and not reacting. So now he's starting to react more and get more comfortable.
Doug made a great observation. Tell Bob what you saw in his game against Phoenix.
So when we had him at the California Classic, he was trying to get what he did in high school, what he did in college, that real low post position. And Derrick Jones Jr. kind of forced him to the baseline, which is to his right hand, baseline, another defender. And since he's come here, whether it's you, whether it's Larry, whoever, or maybe it's just him, now he's catching it out 2 or 3 feet, nice little reverse pivot. He's giving himself multiple options, a little more space, the ability to use his quickness and athleticism as opposed to trying to just bang against a guy and think you're going to overpower him.
Absolutely. Today's game, you have to have the ability to catch the ball off the block, face up, and attack. He has a jump shot that is very consistent and it is very nice. So anytime you can get him to face up and attack or even show jab step and then attack off the dribble, it just gives him more weapons to attack.
Doug, you and Doug are talking about this all the time, and maybe we don't have you on the air, but we talk to you off the air. You played in this league a long time. You played in an era where it was rough and tough, but you also know about motors. Doug had one of the best motors that ever played for Sacramento. When I speak to you, that's the one thing you talk about with Harry and Marvin, their absolute love and desire to play the game. Talk about that.
It's huge because if you enjoy and love what you do, you love to be in the gym, you're going to come in and work and work and work regardless of the situation. You know, you're just going to keep fighting. You know, these guys are not giving up. Even, you know, we had a game where we're down 15-20. They're still playing hard. They're still running the floor. And that is old school mentality. That is something that is kind of lost in this generation sometimes, you know, and you just can't teach that.
Yeah.
So when you have that motor, it makes our job a lot easier.
Well, it's great having you on, and happy birthday. I'm sorry I will not be able to hang out tonight at your happy birthday dinner at Javier's, but as I'm on the plane flying home, I'll be thinking about you.
No doubt. I appreciate it. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Happy birthday, buddy.
Right, thanks,
Bob. All right, that's Bob Thornton. We've got 1 hour in the books, 2 hours left. This is Sports 1140 KHTK.